You're live.
Okay, thank you very much. Welcome everyone. This is the Lane Transit District Board of Directors special meeting. It is 4:30 PM on October 14th, 2020. I call this meeting to order and we'll do a quick roll call. Let's start with Caitlin Vargas.
Here.
Joshua Scove.
Here.
I do not see Don Norden, but Stephen Yet.
Present.
And I also do not see Emily Secord. Hopefully, Dawn and Emily will join us in the next half hour or so. Just some really quick comments from me. I just want to make sure to let LTD employees know that I myself, and I'm sure most of the board would agree, we have you in our minds frequently, and we really respect and grateful for the work that you do. And so I don't think we could ever express enough gratitude constantly, but it's definitely worth saying. And then also the other people I think of frequently now are parents with children trying to get through this current situation with remote schooling. And my thoughts are also going out to those people too. I have children as well, and we are doing our best. And as I'm sure many parents are trying to do their best. Comments from the general manager. AJ, do you have anything for us?
I don't have anything different, but I support your comments. Ditto on those. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Next, announcements and additions to the agenda. Okay, hearing none, we'll go ahead and go straight to the ridership and operations update. Tom, please take it away. Oh, you're on mute, Tom. Just so you,
I am. Yeah. So because of the posting of the link, I need to just make one adjustment. Andrew's going to be part of the presentation today, and we had actually assigned him to be the holder of the presentation. But since he's not in, I'm going to do that.
I'm here,
Tom. He's here.
Oh, you are. Do you have the presentation?
I do.
Ready to go?
Excellent. Share my screen.
Hi, Andrew. Welcome. Good to see you again.
Thank you. Great to see you all as well.
Okay, so here goes. Today, we're going to provide you with a little bit different presentation on our service and ridership. Over the past 6.5 months, we have provided the board with frequent updates on our ridership, outlining the changes we've experienced, the general trends we've seen as we've made changes to our service levels over time, particularly with respect to the overloads on our buses. During this time, there's been much written on two aspects of our riders and service, emphasizing the vital service that transit is providing for essential workers. Jarrett Walker has written that now more than ever, public transportation is not just about ridership. Buses, trains, and subways make urban civilization possible. There have also been many articles, such as Bloomberg City Lab's article titled, "Fear of Crowds May End Up Haunting U.S. Transit Agencies," on the topic of public perceptions on the safety of transit. Both the board and the agency have acknowledged this tension between the need to provide the level of service necessary to support essential workers and the potential safety issues raised by overcrowded buses. It's in that frame that the board articulated a public health first approach to service deployment, having the agency focus on safely operating the minimum level of service that can be provided for essential trip making in the region. In implementing this, LTD has taken an approach to operations that says that ridership productivity is not the goal at this time. To that end, LTD began managing loads on April 4th, and currently we are limiting 40-foot buses to 20 passengers and 60-foot buses to 30 passengers. In addition, on April 9th, LTD began requiring that all passengers wear masks while on LTD property and vehicles. What we want to do today is to take a step back to provide the board with an assessment of our operations during this time relative to what we were experiencing pre-COVID. There are three critical questions we're trying to answer today with this assessment. What challenges have we faced in operating regional transit service during COVID? How have we managed those challenges? And perhaps most important at this time, how do we best prepare for what might be coming our way in the coming months? With those questions in mind, we want to provide the board today with an overview on the status of our operations, how we've managed the challenges we've faced, and the options and trade-offs that might be considered moving forward. Andrew is going to go through the information on the status of our operations and how we've been managing the challenges, and Mark will discuss options and trade-offs that might be considered moving forward. Andrew?
Thanks, Tom. So wanted to start off just talking about kind of what we've been doing recently to address some of our operational challenges. I'm sure that you've all gotten really used to Tom talking about our overloads every week and some of the things that we've been doing to try and manage that. So on September 27th, we did our fall bid change, and we added frequency on some of our routes, particularly Route 41 is now operating at 30-minute service pretty much all day. And we did strategic frequency adds on a whole bunch of other routes, 13, 66, 67, and quite a few others as well, to try and address those peak periods where we are having overloads. So it really just adds capacity and provides more bus service for our riders, which is also really convenient and allows for people to make more of their essential trips on transit. Because the University of Oregon and LCC are at least sort of back in session, there are people going to campus. We've added back routes 79X and 81 to provide service to those locations. And perhaps less visible to the customers, we went back to our weekday schedules, which helps our adherence. We all know that there's more traffic congestion on weekdays, and operationally, our schedules were just a little too tight with running a Saturday level of service. There's actually a little more time in the weekday routes so that we can stay on time whenever we're facing traffic congestion, which has kind of come back from where it was earlier in the pandemic period. So in response to that, what we've seen is quite a healthy growth in ridership, actually. We put more service out, it's more convenient, and we know that when service is more convenient, more people will take it. We are still asking that people take essential trips only on transit, but we're getting closer to 14,000 boardings per day now. We were around 12,000 previously, it was pretty steady. So we've gained about 2,000 boardings per day, which is not insignificant. So that's left us with a situation where we're still seeing some overloads on our buses. For context, it's about 2.5% of our trips, maybe closer to 2% now since we've added some more trips. So it's a relatively small number, but it does happen every day, and it's a little variable. You can see sometimes it's only 5 trips, and sometimes it's more like 20. I think it depends on kind of the day of the week and what's going on, things outside of our control. The black line shows where we made our service change, and you can see it's not a whole lot different than before we made the service change. And really that's the result of more people finding our service useful for their essential trip making, because we did add that service. That would be my assessment of that. So just to give you an idea kind of not just what's overloaded, and you see we do have in there the 20 to 24 and 25 and over categories. There are times when we're letting more than 20 people on the bus. For instance, like if a large family got on and they're not socially distanced from each other, it might be safe to let more than 20 passengers on the bus. There's a little bit of driver discretion in there when there's whether or not the bus is crowded, but we do try and keep it to 20 or below. So the yellow and dark green bars at the top show essentially what was on the last slide, those overloaded ones. What you're seeing though is a large percentage of our trips are what I would describe as well used. So we're seeing loads of at least 15 or more on all of these trips. And that does make up, I'm not sure what percentage, but it's a fairly high percentage of our trips on 40-foot buses. So our buses are well used on most trips, which we're not looking at productivity as a metric right now, as a key metric anyway, but this does show that we are using the capacity in our buses well. And it shows that, there's not a whole lot more room to grow our ridership with the existing service levels without facing more overload issues. On 60-foot buses, it's a really similar story. Again, we're seeing overloads on our routes most days of the week. And in terms of capacity, again, really similar story. A lot of our 60-foot buses are also well used. We're deploying them obviously on our MX system, but also trying to work the 60-foot buses into other routes where there is a lot of demand. That way we can still serve lots of passengers without having the overload issues by accommodating a few more people on our 60-foot buses compared to the 40-foot buses. In terms of actually leaving someone on the curb, really unfortunate situation, but it does happen occasionally. If we cannot safely let a passenger on the bus because of the public health situation we find ourselves in, we are passing a few people by every day. You know, it ranges from, you know, zero up to, since this bit started, a little bit over 15, is maybe 16 or 17 there. And you can see it happens on a few different routes. I don't expect you to actually look and compare it, but the point of this is really it can happen kind of unexpectedly on many different routes, but some of them are more common. You see quite a few MX trips on there. And just to give you a sense of scale, we've been looking at it kind of by the frequency of the route. Because, you know, if you have to wait an extra 10 minutes for the next MX bus, it's very inconvenient, but it's probably not going to ruin your day. You might be 10 minutes late to something, but that's certainly better than being an hour late to something if you have to wait for one of our less frequent services. So in terms of overloads on 40-foot buses, you're seeing more on the 30 and 60 minute here than on the 10 to 20 because we use more more 40-foot buses on those services. You know, the overloads, this isn't anybody left on the curb. These are just 40-foot buses that reach the overload. And this is all 3 weeks since we started the fall bid. So it's September 27th to today. So it's about 24 days worth of information. And in terms of the 60-foot buses, it, you know, most of these are on the 10 to 20 minute category because you're seeing a lot of MX trips. And again, there are some on the 11, which is also a pretty frequent service right now. Pass-bys, this is actually, we adjusted this per day just to give you a sense of scale. How many people are we actually not able to serve per day? In each of these frequency categories. And, you know, most of them are in the 30 minute category. That's where a lot of our core routes are. Only the 11 and the MX are in the 10 to 20 minute range right now. So when we pass people by, the majority of them are waiting 30 minutes or less, but about 2.5, I mean, you can have half a person. So between 2 and 3 people on an average weekday are not being served on one of our routes that comes every hour. So what are we doing to address this? As I mentioned at the beginning, the number one tool we've been using would be increasing the frequency on our routes. Obviously, we're budget constrained. We have to go through the bid process. That's a thing. But our primary tool so far has been adding frequency. It provides more capacity. And like I said, when we increase the frequencies, should we not be able to serve someone, smaller wait times are always better in that case. So we can get that up. That's still a tool we have in our belt that we can continue to use. We're deploying 60-foot buses when possible. We have a limited fleet of those. We have a lot more 40-foot buses than 60-foot buses. But we are deploying the 60-foot buses where we can to try and manage trips that we know are seeing a lot more passengers boarding. And it's really not an optimal solution, and it doesn't happen as often as it could. I don't want to say as it could. We do it as much as we can, but we do occasionally deploy trippers. And by that, I mean a bus driver will report to operations that their bus is full and they're going to drop off only mode, that they have left someone on the curb. And if we have a driver available and if we know it's going to be a while, we can try to send a bus out. That's, again, really, it's not consistent. It's not ideal because it's difficult to communicate to our riders that the bus is coming. They're standing out there waiting for the bus. The bus passes them by. They don't know that we're trying to send another bus out. And frankly, it takes a while to get a bus out of our yard and get that on the road and then out to whatever location that passenger was standing. So oftentimes it's not a great option or even an option at all, because on 30-minute service at least, the next bus is probably going to come before we can get a tripper out there. So that's really kind of a, it's like I said, it's not consistent, not a great tool, but it is something we've done because we are making a best effort to serve all of our passengers and get them where they're trying to go. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mark. He wants to talk with you all about kind of some of the key considerations that we have for how to continue to address overloads in our system and provide the best service that we can to our community during these challenging times.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. So there is one thing that Andrew mentioned that I want to make sure that the board understands, it, and that is that we've had 5 service changes in 6 months. And that's not insignificant. Typically, we have 3 service changes a year. And so there's a lot of effort and work and analysis that's been going in to make sure that, you know, we're providing this a useful, good service that, you know, provides the essential trips that we need. So, and, you know, we're continuing to do that. And so we just had a bid September 27th. And again, all these most of the data you've seen today are from that bid to now. And so we are doing some analysis to try to understand what's really happening in our system, where we might need to add additional frequency, and, you know, how quickly we could respond to provide adequate service. So, from board perspective, I guess what we're really asking is to have a discussion about board priorities, or what's, you know, the most important for board. We've got a series of tools that we can deploy to be able to address certain elements. So, you know, if we're looking at safety and public and employee health approach, that's number one priority, then, you know, that's a different priority than say, no, we need to, you know, really manage the costs. But I think the board does need to have a conversation around some of these things so we can understand, you know, really the board priorities, and we can bring it back a package that addresses the most important elements for the board based on the tools that we have at our disposal to provide the service that, you know, is important to the community. And with that, you know, you we can answer any questions or certainly have the board discuss.
Thank you very much, Mark, Tom, and Andrew. That was a great presentation. I actually really, really enjoyed the first part when you kind of framed the whole situation. I look forward to our discussion on it, actually, as well as some of the other considerations for the future. So with that, I'll open up to the board for questions and comments. And if not, I've got stuff to say, but okay, I'll go ahead and start since no one's raised their hand. You know, one of the things I feel like COVID has done for us, if we could thank COVID for anything, it is that it showed us that ridership was not necessarily the most important thing that LTD has to offer. I think we did, this is my opinion, so I'll just say for me, I think I may have been caught up in the over counting or overvaluation of how much ridership meant in terms of the value that we brought to the sources of funding for our transit operation. And I think now I've, you know, with the current circumstance, it really is just one of many factors that I think we need to consider as a board to really give a good the right kind of service for our community. And so I am definitely humbled by COVID in many ways, but also I think this was definitely a learning experience for me in that respect. That's just one comment, but other people or questions?
Stephen and I both have our digital hands up. I'm happy to-
Oh, I'm sorry, Stephen. Thank you. Okay, whoever Stephen, was first and then, was that you, Josh?
Josh, go for it, you go first.
Okay, Josh and then Stephen. Sorry I missed that, go ahead, please.
No, I'm teaching online right now this quarter at U of O, so believe me, I've missed plenty in Zoom this quarter. I've been humbled by that as well. So first of all, thank you to Mark and Andrew and Tom for laying this out as clearly as you have. This is incredibly useful and incredibly usefully framed for board level deliberation. I have a short question and then a slightly longer comment. The question, and I don't know if you guys have calculated this, Andrew, it sounded like you were hinting on maybe not having gotten to it yet. Can you tell us the percentage increase in service hours and the percentage increase in boardings? And I realize it's early in this service, so we may not know, but it looks like it is like about 20% and 15% or something like that, or pretty close.
I do not have the number of service hours in the top of my head. What we increased, I'm not sure that it was 15%. I don't think it was quite that high, but I could be wrong. Boardings, again, I'm not going to try and do the math in my head, but whatever, 14 divided by 12 minus 1 would be as a proportion.
Sure. So that's about 16%, 17%.
Something like that.
Okay. Okay. I'm just asking because I guess I want us to, and we should take a look at this as we have more data, but I want to make a comment about the framing that we've used here. And I want to be clear. I don't disagree with the way Carl framed it. I actually like that. This is about more than just pure numbers, and it is easy to get caught up in the numbers, and I'll admit to that myself. But I want to be sure that we don't overly discount ridership, and I mean it in the following way. In the conversation here, sometimes we're conflating ridership and productivity, and I think that's a little bit dangerous. I think we should definitely worry less about productivity because we know, given the conditions, given our, the self-imposed constraints, we're going to be running buses that don't have as many people on them. But actually, I want to make sure that we are taking ridership still really seriously. If people are deciding to use transit at this time, I think it's a safer assumption than usual that they have few or no other options at their disposal. A lot of people are scared to use transit right now. They're scared to do lots of things that involve people in groups. So actually, ridership and a little more service that might deliver a little more ridership is something we really have to think about hard. And so I'm thrilled that staff have moved ahead with this service and, with this increase in service. And I think to Andrew's point, I think it definitely, Andrew, if I'm getting your words right, you're saying people are finding the extra service useful. I mean, that's basically what we said. We have this increment in service and an increment in boardings. So I want to make sure we don't, I don't want to discount ridership because it probably speaks to like really serious human needs right now. And I'll leave it at that for now. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh. Go ahead, Stephen.
Well, thank you, Carl, appreciate it. And also just want to echo, thank you, Andrew, nice presentation. Tom, ditto, Mark, appreciate the commentary. First, just a small request. On the bar graphs that Tom and Andrew have been supplying for several weeks, they're helpful, but may I please suggest that if we could have maybe a percentage number in each bar that just represents the change in ridership from the previous week, that might help us gauge it, because as we're looking at this and looking at the axis trying to figure out, is that 12,000 or 14,000 or 13,500? That might be an easy way to telegraph the change in ridership. So just one thought, please. Regarding the considerations that Mark brought up and we're chatting about now, I think first and foremost, the one that's at the top is appropriately there. I think the safety of the public and also our staff, frontline ATU staff, comes first and comes second, because without that, we don't have anything. And I would also appreciate, if possible, an idea of if we add more service, the financial and cost per hour, can we quantify that, please? And I also just have a sub question around that. If we add more service, is it enough service that it meaningfully changes our fixed cost, and so the overall cost for everything drops a little bit, if that makes sense?
Yeah, and I can respond to some of that, Stephen. And one is, if we add more service, our cost per hour will go down. I mean, it just because, you know, you're right, there are certain costs that are there regardless. So right now it's pretty high. I think it's running around $216 an hour. It was up to about $237 at one point. Under normal circumstances, it's $166 pre-COVID. So yes, we add service, the cost per hour go down, overall costs go up.
Can I add a comment to Josh's comments? First of all, I would say we talk about ridership generally, but I think what we've been speaking to is more that productivity is not the focus, not that ridership isn't the focus. And I think that's an important distinction. You know, obviously we care about our riders and all. And the second thing I would raise is, and Andrew talked about it in his presentation, what we've seen, and it's very telling in the chart looking at overloads, where you've got the line between the previous previous bid and the new fall bid, and you see the same level of actually go back up to the 40 footer. I think it's even back down one. I think that tells, well, no, actually you're right, it was the other one. But anyway, you can see that the overloads are very similar, and in our minds, what we've started to understand is there is some latent demand in the community for transit. And we added enough service on certain routes that it's a little bit easier to use for some people. Again, we're seeing the same kind of levels of overloads, which means that more people are using it. I don't think because it's essential. I mean, I think we've moved beyond that. And I mean, I certainly welcome to talk about that further. But I mean, as we look at things, there's a latent demand, and as we start to think about addressing the overloads here and adding more service, we expect that there'll be more people finding it useful. So there's at some level you hope that we meet that our supply is meeting the demand, and we can manage these overloads that way. But just some perspective.
Also, just to follow up, Josh, I got some help from my colleagues in the audience. We increased from 455 to 598 service hours per weekday. So that's about a 30% increase in service. So
that's helpful. Thank you. It'll be good to see where the boardings settle. Thanks.
Yeah. I just want to say, I appreciate what Tom and Josh said, distinguishing between ridership and productivity. I'll be more careful with my words and distinguishing them as well. I think I also want to add that, you know, there was, and I think Josh indicated this too, there is a seduction that comes with the numbers and the counting of it, because it's easy to show or easier to show metrics with those kinds of, when we measure that kind of ridership and productivity. But the, I'm hoping, one thing I wanted to add though was that I'm hoping that since we're all learning about this in terms of how, what may be more important to our community as a result of this particular situation, that our community is also learning with us, and they may be more supportive and be more understanding of why we make some of the decisions that we do. So we should not fail on capitalizing on that, because I think there probably will be not only opinions now, but definitely opinions in the future as to what really the community needs from LTD in terms of service. So I want to throw that in as well. Just checking in to make sure, Caitlin, did you want to say anything? I think we haven't heard from you.
No, Carl, I'm good. I appreciate how thorough you guys are being in this discussion.
Oh no, great. Just wanted to check in with you, Caitlin. Thank you very much. Any other comments or questions from any other board member? Well, great. Well, thank you very, very much, Andrew, Tom, and Mark, for that presentation. And at this point, we will
Carl, if I could, I want to just kind confirm, you know, kind of what we heard from the board and what we'll bring back. So, I mean, what it really sounds like is that we're, you know, on the right track keeping public safety first, trying to control loads, but also where we can to add service where, you know, where it makes sense. And so, you know, we'll keep those in mind as we bring back solutions for, you know, adding back service or, you know, service modifications. So that we make sure that we're, you know, listening to the board and responding to their priorities and concerns.
No, I appreciate that very much, Mark. I think you summed it up nicely, and I think that's exactly what I heard.
Okay, thank you.
Chuck, oh, go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, Mark, thank you for that clarification. I agree with what you said. The only thing I would tack on that we, I think that both Caitlin and I voiced a little bit of support for at some point is a little bit of, and Caitlin, I want to speak for you, but this is sort of, we had this conversation in a meeting, I don't know, a few weeks ago or a month ago, a little bit of urgency around getting fares back in, you know, collecting fares again as a kind of legitimate way of dealing with safety and health and for that matter, potential overloads. I want to make sure that's kind of in the mix. And it's not because, it's not just to make everybody pay. We have a lot of programs, and if we need more, we should, you know, we should have that conversation in ways that we give people discounts on fares or we don't charge any fare at all. But it works as a kind of metering of occupancy potentially. So I want to make sure that's kind of in there from a public health perspective as well.
Yeah, really good point, Josh. Thanks for adding that in because that is in the discussion. So thanks.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, very good. Great. Well, I think with that, I'm going to go ahead and announce that the LDD Board of Directors will be meeting in a non-public session pursuant to ORS 192.6602F to consider information and records that are exempted by law from public inspection. There's going to be a separate webinar link that actually, Camille, did everyone receive? I haven't been checking my emails. Did we already receive that?
Yeah.
My understanding was Council was going to be sending that out.
Oh, okay, that's right. Thank you. So everyone should have received it.
Carl, it's also in your calendar meeting appointment.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. So everyone should have that in your calendar meeting appointment as well as your email. Next, I needed someone to make a motion to move us into that executive session.
So moved.
Great.
Second.
I think I heard Caitlin second. So moved by Josh, seconded by Caitlin. We'll do a quick roll call vote. I'll start with Stephen.
Thumbs up.
Josh?
Yes.
Caitlin?
Aye.
And I, Carl Ye, also vote aye. So that motion passes. So we will go ahead and move into public session and see you all there.
Non-public session.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, to be very clear for the record, non-public session. Thank you, Josh. See you there.